Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, for your revival fires among us tonight. We praise you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, for bringing to memory the things that we want to talk about tonight. That is how to get your attention to bring about revival. And not only that, Lord, to bring about the things that brings about repentance and humbling and all of those things, breaking, all of those things that we've seen other people do. And we praise you for tonight. You're going to open the door for us. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in this particular outreach tonight. Thank you so much, Father, for showing us the past and how they came about. There are different ways, different folks. And it's not any one set way to do it. But Lord, we just thank you for giving us the answers that we've been looking for. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Is there anybody that's not excited about Jesus coming in and throwing his glory and love all about us? Raise your hand if you're not excited. All right. No, it's not multiple choice. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? I'm excited because I've been listening to that thing for about the last hour. No prayer requests? All right, yes, Pat, go ahead.
I have a generic prayer request that is that I'd like to just pray for my family and for Father. Lord, I ask you, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for your life that you've given us through the shed blood of Christ. I thank you, Lord, that that you have put away sin completely and death and guilt and all these things are put away. You put away fear. You've nailed it all to the cross. And Lord, I just pray for my family to bind that spirit of fear, that spirit of fear that would push them away from you. And I thank you, Lord, that you are greater than the fear and deception that the devil would put into our life and put before us. I thank you, Lord, that even though you use the devil's fear to motivate and push people in a certain direction, you want them to be free from that fear, resting in you, resting in your grace and your presence, above all your presence and a confidence and trust in your ability to save. And so, Lord, I claim that tonight as our promise, Lord, that you've given us in Christ. And I bind those spirits that would try to hinder your work of your the Holy Spirit in these lives around me and around us, around all of our families. And we thank you, Lord, that you are greater than these oppositions. And though you use many of these oppositions, even in our life, to put the old man, to crucify that old man, to encourage us and move us to trust in you and to bring forth that faith that is only in you, this faith even that we're praying for revival, Lord, that only you, only the fire of God, the presence of God in people's lives and in our lives are going to motivate and bring forth your life in a massive, quick revival way, Lord. We just look to you tonight. We ask you for the flood. We ask you for the rain of the Holy Spirit and pour into our lives, pour into our hearts, and bring forth that life to the surface. Bring it out and express it in us. And we thank you for it, Lord. Give us grace to cooperate with you in any way through the prayers tonight. And we thank you for it. Thank you for being with us. We praise you and we bless your name, Lord. We thank you that that you are bringing us through and that we are in your will and in your presence tonight. And we thank you for it. Just bless us as we continue on in your word and in your strength and in your prayer and in your presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hey, Jesse. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Yes, Carol.
Can you hear me?
Not very good. It's warbly.
Wobbly, wobbly. I might have to type it up. Can you hear better? No? Yes?
Yeah, a little bit better. Go ahead.
Okay, well, it's very simple. I just need prayer. I just have to say, I need prayer. Okay, it hurts. My stomach hurts. My heart hurts. I know God is at work, but I need to just confess. I need prayer, brothers and sisters. I just want to cry. I'm in a fight. So that's it. I love you guys. And I'm going to receive the prayers.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we lift up Carol to you. Lord, she doesn't have to go through this thing that she's going through. This is an attack by the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, we come against the spirit of infirmity on Carol. I don't care where you are in her body. You have to go in Jesus' name. Every part of you leave right now, Carol's body, and take all the symptoms with you in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you right now, go in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that she is delivered, set free, and healed by the power and the blood of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Do you believe that, Carol? I command that depressive spirit off of her right now, too.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Yes, you go from her in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for replacing it with your rest and your joy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I believe it. Amen and amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I just had a small praise report. But if anyone else has a need for prayer, please raise your hand and go before me. You know, otherwise I'll speak. I had a jar that I could not get the lid off of, and I had been trying several times. I was, you know, doing all kinds of things to get it open. I prayed over it and asked the Lord to open it for me and loosen it for me, and I'm like, well, Lord, then you're just going to have to send me somebody strong. So somebody will stop over here and open up this jar for me. And that was today's Thursday. So this must have been Tuesday when I prayed that. And today, my neighbor across the street was getting a new washer. She was getting a new washer installed. So here's my maintenance guy and another guy that I don't know, taking this thing up the stairs to her apartment. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. So I stood there and watched him. And I said, when they got it to the top of the stairs and they're at her apartment door, I said, I need a help. I need help. I need someone with a strong arm. I need somebody to open up my lid off a jar for me. And they just both kind of looked at each other. And I'm like, you don't have to do it right now, but wouldn't you please? He's like, yeah, sure. Bring it out. Can you bring it out here? I said, yeah. So I took the jar out there and he took it like it was no peace, no trouble at all. He worked on it. He worked on it. And he really was having a hard time. He got it open. Praise the Lord. But it was really stuck on there. He even said, wow, that's really stuck on there. But the Lord brought me a strong man to open up my jar for me. And I just bless him, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the men that are around to open up the jars or whatever it is. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Ray, June.
Go ahead, honey.
I just wanted to add to the prayer for Carol. As a child of God, we stand with her, that she has the victorious Lord, life and the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, that as her soul prospers, she prospers in health, and that I just want to add that she is an overcomer, and whatever she's being attacked with, she is above it, because in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, she is whole. She is whole. She is to be filled with the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, that whatever the enemy wants to do against her does not have the right, as we stand with Carol as a believer. She is protected. She is in the provision of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Ann Rutter. Where'd she go?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. Hi. It's a bit of both. I have a question and request. So I've recently been given guardianship over my mother. She was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2017, and we were caring for her with my younger brother, who passed away in 2019. And it's been a battle with my older brother, because he's been trying to get, you know, her property. He diverted her income through her properties and that. But finally, after a big struggle, I got guardianship, and praise God, because that was 100% his doing. The question I have is, I've tried to remain polite and courteous and everything. At the moment, the bank account, which I've been given custody of, I'm trying to access. They're playing silly games and they're running around in circles, and they're trying to get me to fly home because they want to see my original documents, which have been notarized and all that, you know, so I can't access them. They're being very dodgy. And I'm wondering, because we have a spirit of boldness, how bold is bold? When do you cross the line? Because I don't want to disappoint or be disobedient. But it's getting to the point where being assertive is, it doesn't seem to register. There's an arrogance there that's just, yeah. So that's my first question. What is having a spirit of boldness and staying in obedience? And the second is a prayer request for the situation and for my mom. She needs to go under sedation to get 2 wisdom teeth removed because she can't follow instructions. And for healing, if it's God's will. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna need some help.
Yeah, did you say you've got some property here that's now in your stewardship?
Yes.
And but you're having difficulties with the legal problem with it, since you have all this authority, but somebody's standing up and challenging that.
The bank, they're not releasing her funds, so.
The bank.
Yeah, so it's the property was like, it was difficult, but now finally we've gotten control of it. But the bank now is, they're just coming up with like loops to jump over and just creating obstacles. And it's been weeks, and because back home the insurance isn't really good, you have to sort of pay your way through. And so mom needs like 24-hour cares with the nurses, with everything. So that's,
I see.
So it's been a bit heavy on me.
Do you have any kind of access to her account, as far as, you know, checks, or can you write checks for her and stuff like that?
That's the problem, is I'm trying to set up internet banking with this bank, and they're being really just arrogant and difficult, and they're saying you're gonna have to come here, but that would mean I'd have to leave, you know, my work, my business, everything, and then also the challenges of traveling.
How far away is it?
I'm in Australia. Back home is Kenya.
Oh, in Kenya.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Even the lawyers are surprised by the, you know.
That's how great.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Yeah. Well, Father, I lift up and read it to you. Lord, you see the situation here. I break the power of Satan on her mother's property from the bank right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for sending out your angels right now that the bank will show favor to Anretta and do whatever it is that she needs to do with her mama's property. And I command the banks to get their hands off of it. The thieves and the murderers in the banks, back off. I bind up your attempts to steal this property right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for releasing it to Anretta in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Julie.
Anretta, do you have is it power of attorney that they've given you for your mom?
I have the one above it, guardianship and custody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there any, this is what was coming to me. I'm not negating what Michael just prayed, but I'm just curious if there is a bank branch, which is the same branch that is dealing with there, that something in Australia you could go to and just have somebody off the authenticate what you have is true.
I looked into that. It used to be the Barclays Bank, but now they've broken off and they're called the Absa Bank, and they're specific to Africa. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we just come against these threats, control, manipulation, and intimidation, and everything that's trying to hinder Anretta to do what she's been asked to do and what she has legal right and authority to do in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for taking care of everything as her daughter. She is your daughter, Lord, and you promised to meet our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and you want to show yourself powerful in our weakness. And she's, Anretta, our sister here, is in a place of weakness and trying to be doing things the right way, the legal way. And we thank you, Lord, for working these details out beyond what we can ask or think, and that you're going to move quickly and in a most powerful way in accordance with the prayers of agreement that Michael's prayed. And we just bless her, Father, and the health issues that Anretta's mother has. We take authority over those in the name of Jesus. We command healing. I think you mentioned something about dementia, that she was diagnosed with dementia.
Yep, and fibromyalgia, like just constant pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's just all from, they're just lies. It's just the enemy. Amen. We take authority over the fibromyalgia, rejection, fear of rejection, pain, all infirmities, everything hindering her mind to think clearly, all confusion of the enemy, all spirits of doubt and unbelief, memory loss, and we command it all to be restored in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke and cast down off of Enretta's mother every word curse spoken over her in the name of Jesus. And we command that healing to manifest quickly, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That dementia spirit in the name of Jesus, I command you to go from her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for clarity of thought in her mom right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we believe it. Everybody here believes it. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for complete clarity of thought to where she can take hold of her property herself. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Is she born again Christian, Henrietta?
She was, but it's not like with the whole understanding, like it's the going to church, making sure she's offering but she prayed. She prayed a lot. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I love what Julie said, because it reminded me of something I was going through like 2 years ago when I was in the thick of it. I couldn't sleep and I was getting so stressed and I was praying and I'm saying, Lord, my mom. And God asked me, do you think you love her more than I do? She's my daughter. Yeah, she's my daughter. She may be your mother, but she's my daughter. So praise God. Thank you so much. God praise bless God. You.
All right.
Yeah. Just like I say, Lord, we bind any hindering spirits that are getting in the way now with these bank people, and we bind those spirits up. They cannot speak to the bank people. They have to be more, they have to cooperate with Enretta right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Do you have something, Greg?
Well, basically, what's been prayed, I'll just say amen. You know, Lord, if you would allow me to address the spirits behind all this. And my observation is that Enretta has gone through all the processes, honouring the system of this world, not honouring, but respecting the systems of this world. But now, Lord, I just want to remind them that we are the sons and daughters, the children of God.
Amen.
We do not go to your system and beg for your cooperation. You bow to our Lord. So we now command you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the authority he's given us, that you release everything to this daughter of the Lord's control, to her stewardship. And she answers to him, not to you. And Lord, yes, I echo all the prayers that have been said, the petitions that have been made, the claims for Enretta's mother to be restored, that this part of her life could be spent in sweet fellowship with the Lord until the time that the Lord decrees that she come home. Amen. That'll do for me. I'll get out of the way.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. I just believe Mama's going to come back into her mind, and she's going to take control, and she's going to be with her daughter. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. I declare it and decree it by the power and the blood of Jesus. Mama, you come home in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Yeah, we pray the boldness on her mom now.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just know it's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus.
Marion's got her hand up. Marilyn.
Yeah, I see. I wasn't ignoring you, Marilyn. I was just sitting here listening to the Lord. Go ahead.
Okay. Miranda, did I understand you say that there was something going on there with your older brother, that there had been a real struggle over this situation with him?
Yeah, yes, he diverted the money, and he's always been a bit difficult. He's different.
Okay, well, I just wanted to pray about that, and I'm in agreement. I think we got this the Lord has got this covered, because he's heard all our prayers. But do also bind up the spirits of witchcraft and faction trying to come in here as a part of the hindrance in any way. We bind all that up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, in any curses coming against Anretta and the mom through this brother. And we loose the holy angels to come and take care of that. And Father, we also ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Anretta's brother. And Father, we say, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. We bless this man. We don't curse him. We ask for an outpouring of mercy, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him, the fear of God. Loving Father, that you pour out a spirit of repentance and faith upon him, Father. And we tell him to come on into the kingdom too. Father, let him repent and believe. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you for bringing him in also. Praise God. Whew, my, 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 my. You fixed to have a testimony, Anretta. A good one. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. That Micah boy. Hey, boy. Get on with your bad self, your good self.
Growing.
Yes, he is. Hey, buddy, what you doing? Where'd your hair go?
Well, it's kind of there.
Right. Praise the Lord. Hey, buddy. He's a big one. Who is that up there? Is that Israel? Hey, buddy. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Joe DeBrazy. How you doing, brother? Say, I'm doing fine as wine in the summertime. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Before we begin tonight with this wonderful testimony of these people that had revival going, do y'all mind if I play Robin Mark's revival? Just to get everybody excited, tuned in to the Lord. But it don't make no devil about it. I'm going to do it anyway. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Girl, okay.
I hear the voice of one cry. I hear the voice of one cry. Prepare I hear the voice of one cry. I hear the voice of one cry. Let your rain fall. Let your rain fall in this desert. For I hear the voice of one cry. I hear the voice.
Your burden.
Glory to God. Ooh, my, my, my. Let me close this out. Okay. My, 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 my. I'm sorry, I called him a boy a while ago. You know, that's a girl, I can tell. Praise God.
You're good.
All right, I know that's right. Okay. Let me mute William here. All right, has anybody, did everybody get to see the videos I sent out?
I've seen the one. Was there more than one?
No, I was just one. Oh. Yeah. No, Carol, you didn't see it? Okay. Oh. Did everybody get my email? Anybody did not get my email? Other than June. I think I sent it to you, though, didn't I?
Yeah. It's only like a 20-minute video if we want to watch it, I guess.
No, I don't want to watch it now. I want to talk about it. That's what I want to do. I want to talk about revival. Can anyone tell me, first of all, I want to quote one scripture that kept coming up all the time. Did y'all remember what it was? Anybody want to hazard a guess? I know you know, Julie. Go ahead, though.
Blessed is the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart.
No.
Is that the one you're thinking of, Michael?
Uh-uh.
Nope. Okay.
No. It was. Okay, Marilyn, go ahead.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Well, that's a good one, but that's not the one I was looking at. That's not the one they quoted three or four times during that deal. It was this one right here, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That kept coming up throughout that whole video there, probably maybe just a couple of times, but I remember that one above and beyond the rest of them. So having said that, what was the prevailing factor that brought revival on in that community? Yes, Julie.
A lot of intercessory prayer. A desire to change.
Bingo.
There was desperation as well.
Yes.
It was very, very, very difficult. The stories they told were just heart-wrenching. And it was really good. So yeah, desperation, intercessory prayer, a desire to change. There was people who wanting to repent. And but it was the whole town. Pretty much the whole town.
Yep. Yeah, it was. They said on the night that all the people brought together all of their paraphernalia, and that's where I'm going to leave it at, that there was between $80,000 and $100,000 worth of CDs or tapes or whatever they had out there of idolatrous things, items that they burnt. And the Royal Canadian Police actually helped them to do it. In that little community of, what was it? About 500, I think. Yeah, 500. But what was interesting about the whole thing was the heart-wrenching stories beforehand of what went on there, you know. Yeah, Barbara.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There was a lot of sorrow and suffering that caused them to want to repent. And that, to me, that was the key thing. They had to be at a place, you know, of regret, you know, where they wanted to change, and that's what caused them to want to change, is all the suffering and sorrow. There was a lot of youth that were committing suicides, and
yeah,
you know, that brought a lot of sorrow. And yeah, that's, I think that's what well, like God says, oh gosh, I forgot that scripture, but sorrow that leads you to repentance. It's in Romans, yes. I think. Yeah, that's what came to me on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, exactly. Go ahead, Joe. Thank you, Barbara.
Michael, what was serious for me is there's not even a guy who's talk about the video, he says, it's so cold, not even the trees is growing. So there's no green, there's no life. It must be terrible, yeah, just to have no tree, no, nothing green outside. And it's just cold. I cannot imagine. It will be part of it. The pressing thing is nothing going right except for the Lord's not there. But it's, there's no green, there's no life around them. And that was very interesting for me.
Yes, that's a great a way of looking at what they were in a desert land, weren't they?
Yeah.
Everything had left them that was there before. No, yeah, nothing, you know. But then what happened? Go ahead. We'll talk about that in a minute. Go ahead, Ray or Jude.
Yeah, there were quite a few parallels of hardship and despair that were in the Bible as well. And you know, I think about the Exodus and the children of Israel in Egypt and what they went through, and the cries, the Lord heard their cries, and they were at a very, very low point there. So I think bringing down, being in a position of being very, very low is part of, yeah, the hardship that we see here. And that group there surely went through that. And, you know, the burning that you mentioned of the paraphernalia reminds me again of Elijah and the burning of the prophets of Baal.
Yep.
And, you know, that's another parallel there. I just want to also mention that back in like 1999 or 2000, we met a couple that were Inuit. And they were doing a talk about their people. And they mentioned that many of us knew, not may not know the word Inuit, but we would know the word Eskimo. And he said that the Eskimo word was kind of a very derogatory term, kind of like the N-word to African-American people. And that was used to bring them down and make them very low. And one of the things we saw in the history of that group is that as a people, they were brought very low. They weren't recognized. They had no value. They had no real society. They had some culture, but it was suppressed. And that led up to the hardships that we saw evolve up to the suicides that became, I think, a very pivotal point in the progression of the sin of the group, you know. Just wanted to share that. I think that the audio tape that we heard of the thunderous noise reminds me of Mount Sinai. The fire, the call of fire reminds us all of the tongues of fire coming down in Acts 2. Boy, it was like one thing after another.
Yeah.
The biblical references that came out through that entire sequence of events.
Just wanted to figure it out. Amen. And did you notice?
Will you make it colder?
What, Geneva?
Oh, sorry. I did pause on mute, sorry.
Oh, okay. what was I talking?
You were going to say, did you notice?
I know, but what was I going to notice?
I can't remember, Michael.
Wait a minute. I got it. Did you remember that even months and months after that, when they listened to that tape again, or even talked about it, how emotional, emotional they got, you know, the Lord's still working on them through this.
Right. They said 18 months. That's right.
18 months. Yeah. Almost. Well, a year and a half. Awesome. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, that night, actually, I think that next day, I copied down those links and I watched that. Lana had sent that one and I was really impressed with that. And then when you said, watch it again, because we're going to talk about it, I thought, oh, that was really pretty good. I guess what struck me one was when she talked about how the whole town was all drunk one time, the whole town, everybody was drunk and there was arguing and there was fighting and there was just, it just sounded like a mess, just a big mess. Can you imagine everybody being drunk and everybody angry and that spirit of, there's no hope and just everybody was just, in a bad state. And she talked about the sexual abuse that was going on in all the families and the beatings and there was lawlessness.
Yeah.
There was no sense of, security in the town. I could see where that would drive young people that had no hope. I could see where that would drive them to suicide because they're listening to the demonic hard rock music. Their demons are probably manifesting inside of them and all over them and just push them in one direction or the other because you're seeing that, how they're just being driven by Satan. And so the kids, they suffer the hardest because they can't, it's hard for them. They don't know how to deal with it. And so it's such a terrible thing to see the kids commit suicide at that early teenage years, But again, I was really then the repentance came, and you'd see the change happening, and you'd see the wonderful things happening in their lives and their hearts. Everybody broken for their sin, and they're repenting and confessing their sins openly. And then when Ray and June mentioned that then the thunder of God, the noise, the presence of God fell on him. And I just prior to that, because that night when Andrew had brought up his verses, one of the things that impressed me a little bit was the fire. So I started just going through looking at fire verses before that, because I was kind of interested in the fire of the Lord, because I, don't really think about that too much. You won't think about the Lord and this fire around him, this consuming fire. We don't speak too much about that. But during that time when you're listening, I listened to it a few more times. I had turned my volume up and you can hear somebody saying, fire, fire. And one guy was talking about how he felt the fire go through him. I thought, wow, that's impressive. I mean, it's like, I'd like to experience that. That would be kind of crazy. I think it would be, we'd have to be in a very humbled state for that to happen so we could receive it. But because you weren't humbled, you would be scared to death. What's going on? But if you knew like they did, that was the Lord, they kind of, that experience just came on them. So it was fascinating when I heard that. That was really impressive. And that's all I'd say.
Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, I'm listening to it now. I mean, I can hear it, just in my spirit. That rushing, mighty rushing wind that was coming through there. And that fire was burning the flesh.
Did you see the verse they quoted too? It was Job 37, 1-2, but 1-5 covers it all. Kind of with God there. Did everybody read that one? All right, I'll read it. It's Job 37, 1 through 5. It says, yes, at this my heart trembles and is moved out of its place. Those people are trembling. Hear, oh, hear the noise of his voice and the sound that goes out of his mouth. He sends it forth under that whole heaven and is lightning to the ends of the earth. After its voice roars, he thunders with the voice of his majesty, and he restrains not the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things does he, which we cannot comprehend. So when God shows up, boy, it's like there's going to be things happen. You're going to know he's there. And that's what happened, that his presence was there, you know.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was very impressed by it. I listened to it a couple times, and every time it's interesting, but every time the tape started and the rumbling started, it brought tears to my eyes. It's very, very emotional. And I think it's interesting that no one, that it made, the presence of the Lord made such an impact on their life, yet I don't know that there was any preaching or the word or praying. They were just being overwhelmed. And I remember one of the pastors said, when he was speaking about it, he said, then something happened that was beyond our control. And that shaking and rattling, it's like what Dave said, you would have to be humble to really receive that, but those people were humbled. They were humbled by life. They were shattered, you know? And when it started shaking around them, their hearts were just so overwhelmed to receive it. And it's interesting. I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about it, but when they would talk about it, or they would ask questions, somebody would ask them questions, the interviewer, they would start to talk, and you could tell they were overwhelmed with emotion. Yet it was purely God changed, radically changed their lives simply by being present with them. I don't remember anybody saying, you know, standing up and you know, saying, you know, preaching a sermon or anything like that. It was just an amazing, overwhelming sense of God's presence in their life. And I thought it was interesting that the pastor got up and he started turning the volume knobs up and down, and nothing was happening. So did you hear it? He said he turned the power off to everything. The recorder still recorded it. And I thought, the first thing when he said that, I thought, that sounds like some of those things when the faction wiped out computers at UBM and God restored them. And some of those testimonies there sounded just like that. And, you know, I think that to a certain degree, I know that, you know, God has chosen the foolish things of the world and the preaching of the gospel to bring people into salvation. But you just can't ignore the change that happened in their life simply because of God's presence. And I mean, I'm excited just thinking about it. And so, Father, we just, Lord, we want your presence that way as well. We want to experience that. We want to be with you in that sense of immense presence. Just we pray, Lord, for your overwhelming and to do in us what you desire. We welcome you, Lord. We invite you to do that within us, in your people. And just guide us in your word, Lord, and allow us to cooperate with you. Allow us to receive all that you have and to humble ourselves before your mighty hand. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for these examples of revival. And we just pray that you would touch us likewise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, Pat beat me too. I was just thinking that same thing. It was pretty cool when they were hearing, you know, the Holy Spirit. And I think the pastor went, I think I've got this right. The pastor went to turn the sound bar down, and then it wasn't changing anything. So he's like, okay, it's kind of distracting. And then he turned the power off. Well, or the master, control. Well, it didn't help. And then he just turned the power off and plugged the whole thing. It still did it. That was pretty cool. And something else too, I noticed watching it, is that it seemed like what was spiritually manifesting was also physically manifesting in the land, you know, before in the darkness. I mean, even to the point to where at the very end, that barren ground started to produce fruit. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's something, man. And there's a link there, but I was just, to me, that was really cool to see that, you know, this, what spiritually manifesting physically manifests too. I don't know. I thought it was neat. That's.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. He was healing the land, wasn't he? He was healing the land. They were even getting some funny looking food in. I don't know what they eat up there, but look good. Go ahead, Raiden James.
What Pat was just saying about not having any apparent preaching or words spoken to them, but a couple of things come to mind. One, prayer without ceasing. I mean, we do that for our families and our and all those people that we know. And ultimately, God responds to our prayers. And with the loss of life with those teenagers, one per month, roughly, I think they said in that video. I mean, the family members and the parents of these youngsters, they had to be praying. Someone had to be calling upon the Lord, just like when the Lord heard in Egypt the prayers of the people, you know, the cries of the people. The Lord God heard them, and that obviously evolved to him coming, you know, on Mount Sinai. So I would think that they had some impact to the Lord in some way or fashion to bring it upon them. I think the pastors obviously ultimately had a lot to do with the revival itself as well. But I just think the cries of the people are heard.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, a few of them got together, started praying together. And that's what's brought it on. They were broken. They were ready for change. And the pastors coming in also helped out, and they bring them together. And that's what happened. That's what brought it on, was praying, breaking of people's lives, breaking them down, humbling people. down to where there ain't nothing left but Jesus. That's the only thing that they could see could help them now was Jesus. And when they got to the point where they couldn't help themselves, they cried out to the Lord. And when they cried out to the Lord answered in a mighty way. Glory to God. Go ahead, Angelica.
I just wanted to quickly share what came to my mind was kind of just like on hearing everyone, what they're saying, thinking on it was that these people knew they were in utter darkness. It was a darkness that could be felt. And, you know, they would even see manifestations of demons. And I don't know that these people even ever knew anything about God, because I know there's a lot of people that just don't know anything. But it seemed like what was said in the beginning is that some of those pastors were there in intercessory prayer for some of these surrounding areas that they knew about, you know, and the only, you know, release that they would have from the torment that they had was, you know, their alcohol, you know. And but what came to my mind was that there was no self-righteousness there. No one would sit there and say, you know, that I would imagine, you know, we're good people, or even probably even think that. They were just in the pits of despair, without hope, without any, you know, self-righteousness, you know. And I don't know that they knew their need for God, but they obviously knew they were just, there was, you know, without God, they were there with, you know, without hope, there was just, it was just darkness. And so that, I think that really speaks a lot, you know, what God can do with someone who knows absolutely that there is no righteousness in them. But when he shows up, you know, he's the one that just can transform you into something and take that deep darkness within you and just transform you, you know, overnight. And I just think that's amazing. I also think it's amazing is that God, although these people were not calling, you know, it seemed to me that they weren't, I mean, maybe some, a few, but I don't know if they were inside or outside of the community or not, but it seemed to me that, you know, God just in his mercy just came down for these people and just because of who he is, because his love. And I imagine there's probably so many more, you know, communities like this that we have no clue of, you know, we don't even know these people exist. And that, but, you know, God can give, you know, give any one of us, you know, a heart for prayer for, you know, any one of these peoples. And I remember when I was listening to internet radio, there was a brother, he was on one of these reservations, and it was the same thing. The suicide rate was really, really high, the drug usage, alcoholism, abuse, all of that stuff. And that just goes, that's part of their religion as well, the culture. They you know, invite a lot of darkness in. But I can imagine, because there are reservations here in the U.S., that the Lord's going to do a mighty work there too.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It takes brokenness. That's what it takes. It takes brokenness of the human spirit. Yeah, Pat.
I remember in the 80s when we were seeking, I was in the midst of in a church that we were seeking revival. And at that time, I'll just basically just say it, the church, God did something in the church and sent forth a repentance through the church, and this was a Baptist church that I was in at the time, and there was such I think for the first time people were learning that it's okay to confess sin and give an open testimony of their repentance and a confession of sin, etc. Because this particular group was more or less, you know, we confess our sins to God, and if we really get into a jam, we go to the pastor and talk to him, etc. But there was, the Lord sent this wake of repentance and openness and honesty, and a tremendous refreshing, but it died out, it deteriorated rather quickly. And the Lord showed me at that time that it was putting new wine in an old wineskin, in an old structure. And it was the structure of the Nicolaitan heir, the apostate. You know, there's a system there which erodes the Spirit of God in people, and squelches it and pushes it down. And at that time, I realized, you know, there's no way that revival can really break out in the midst of this structure until the leadership really breaks. Tell those that are in control of the structure are willing to embrace a complete restructuring of the Holy Spirit. And for a pastor that's been brought up in that type of mentality, in that mechanism, it's very difficult because there's a lot of responsibilities. They have responsibilities for people and this and that, whatever. And they take on a lot more than what, you know, men are able to carry or built to carry. And so anyway, the spirit of revival is soon squelched in that type of environment. However, when I was listening to this, I don't know, you know, you don't know much from a 20-minute video and what the structure and what, you know, what is there, whatever. But all I can say is I pray that the leadership at that was in that process was as broken as the people were broken, and that they were willing to open up to the Holy Spirit and search the scripture and allow God to really restructure their system of worship, their life, you know, their theology, whatever, however you want to say it. And I'm in hopes that has happened. But I say that not to throw cold water on the fire type of thing, because God definitely overwhelmingly replaced that environment with an environment of His. But there is a whole world out there that is of this structure that I was talking about, and it opposes that type of work. And I can just see that, you know, that Jesus, when he was preaching the gospel, he more or less depended on people coming out of the system and coming out of, you know, they were following him out and listening to his teaching out on the mountain. They weren't, Jesus wasn't going, you know, to the synagogues and other than the time that he presented himself and going to the temple. But every time he went there, it was a fight, you know, it was a battle. So I just, I mean, I look forward to what the Lord is, what his plans are, and am encouraged that of what he can do when he comes on the scene. And so just pray for us to be ready and to be open and our eyes open and go where he leads us, I guess. But anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. the thing, if you've studied revivals, any at all, you understand that it lasts for, you know, a little while, and then it dies down. It's not that people cannot keep it going, it's just they won't. We all can keep it going by stirring up the spirit in us, as the word says, every day. When you stir up the spirit every day in yourself, you're in revival. Go ahead, David.
I think what happens is it becomes institutionalized. And then they put a name on it, and then you become a fellowship, and then whatever, it becomes a thing. And then it loses all that glory it had. It starts to look more like man than God. So that's what happens. That's why I think you see revivals fade. But I did post another video on there. I haven't watched it all the way through. I got the impression watching this Transformations 2 video that initially the Intuit was a smaller group, and there was an elder that was a spiritual man in this group, and he got information about Jesus. They could have a different name for him. And he had his ideas about, is this their path to like a whatever, a beyond heaven kind of thing. And he was a dreamer too, but his dreams took him into a place where he, you know, you'll see it. He said he dreamt that he crawled up between dark and lightness up this crevasse that he was able to get into, got all the way up to a door, and he couldn't open the door. He couldn't get in the door, and it was bothering him. He didn't know why he couldn't get through the door. And then he got thinking about this Jesus that he heard about, because he heard he was the Son of God. And he thought, well, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He basically said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go hunt a seal. And if I can get a seal, I'm going to share the blood and the meat with my people. And I'm going to say that the Jesus is probably is the way. Because then I know that was God that gave me that seal. So it shows him going out on the ice and the ocean ice. And he says it was dark. There was no light. It was kind of misty. So you really couldn't see anything. So it's worst conditions you can imagine going out there to get a seal. But he stumbles across the seal hole. So he waits and builds a wall there. I shouldn't steal the story, but I'll let you guys watch it. Anyway, so he does get his seal. He goes back and shares it, and then they start following Jesus. Then an evangelist came and told them the more of a story about the Lord, you know, because all he had was basic understanding. And I think that's what you have here is initially these Intuit people, and this is back when they lived on Isis. And they didn't, you know, they were very nomadic. And this is before this Western society thing kicked in where you see it now. So I think initially the Intuit were nomadic people. They got turned on the Lord. They became Christian. But over time with the Western society's ways, like, you know, again, you talked about things dying out. They probably, the religious beliefs died out, even though something was there. And then you got all this cultural stuff coming in, and then people are getting drunk, and then because of society the way it is, and then they deteriorate to nothing. So that's what you're seeing was a great deterioration of what initially started out to be a group of godly people, but because of Western values and everything, they lost it all. And then they came back to the Lord again. That, you know, it's not like they didn't know the Lord, because it didn't sound like they didn't have an understanding of who the Lord was. They just fell away. I think you're seeing that, and they came back. They had no problem coming back to the Lord once they started searching for him. So anyways, that's kind of what I'm thinking I'm seeing here. Just thought I'd bring that up.
Okay. All right, Renita.
Yeah, I was just going to say a lot of times with those revivals, and just life in general, it seems like, you know, you like our fellowship, we've got such a great fellowship and we're strong and we're, you know, believing the word and all that. And then, you know, we're praying hard for our kids because it's the next generation and they've got to come into it on their own. And, you know, and we're just praying and believing for them, but, you know, they're not all there. So it's just that one generation that gets the revival, they're strong in it. But then the next one, it's not there. It's not their revival. So they have to go through it all over again.
Yeah. It seems like there is a pattern in the world of a revival breaking out up till now, about every 20 years. If you look over the history of it, you'll see that, give or take a few years, you know. All right, anyone else? Someone asked me, how do you stir up the spirit? You stir up the spirit by praising God, telling God who he is in your life, praying and singing in the spirit. All the things that you do spiritually minded is what stirs up the spirit in you. If you pray in the spirit a lot, you stir up that spirit inside you. How many spirits stirred up now? We've been talking about God and his pouring out his love upon these people, these poor people that were just dying from the world. And boy, he made a change, glory to God. That's not the only place. And like Dave put out there, there's other whole towns and cities and countries that have been changed in the same way. Y'all remember the story of Guatemala, Alamogordo, I think is the name of it, something like that. There's another one that was just a bunch of yahoos up there drinking and carousing, acting ugly. And finally, they just got tired of it, went to crying out to the Lord. The Lord showed up. They had their jails full. They had their hospitals full. When the revival came, they had to shut the jails down. They didn't have any customers. Praise God. That's good. Go ahead, William. Go ahead, William.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Doing great, brother.
I remember 6 years ago, Michael, I think around about 6 years ago, you did that. One of the teachings was on, you read through like the Hebrides Islands, and they were using that word. If the people call by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and pray, I will heal their land. They stood on that word, and the Lord really like brought the whole, I think it was the whole island almost. I don't know exactly if it was every, or like it was brought everyone. Everyone came to the Lord, or a lot of them. It just had me thinking to do the same thing in South Africa on that word, and that the Lord would save the whole country. It would have been amazing to see a whole country come to the Lord, you know. And where did I put that now? Okay. And I was praying for a long time about that. And then a few years ago, I think when Corona, 2 years ago when Corona was, during Corona, we had another conversation about this, and David was on during that time, and I asked David, what does he think about, so we spoke about that same word, and does he think the whole country can, will there be countries that would come in 100%, you know, like the whole population of a country coming in to repentance and salvation and serving the Lord. And David said there was going to be a few countries that would do that, and so not all countries, but there will be a few that comes in 100, where the whole country does come to Christ. And I just left it there and started praying again. And there's a group of people that I used to be familiar with in South Africa, and they're sort of all over the country. And I prayed for one of them, and I got a word. The word was, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And I was just thinking, sure, this great group of people, or this group of people that I'm familiar with, did the Lord just give me a word that all of them will come to a repentance? And yeah, since then I've been just praying for the Lord to give me a word that He will save the whole country, that He will save South Africa 100%. And I've just been getting, this was the first scripture really going in that direction, where the Lord is sort of telling me that He's going to save this whole country, which is rather amazing. I'm really excited about this. So I'm just sort of still praying about it. And it would be so great if the Lord, because at the end of the day, the Lord alone knows how many people in South Africa will come to Him. And it's just been really going in that direction when I started getting the scripture that the Lord is going to save this whole country, which I'm really excited about. If I can just get a word from the Lord now that He will give... He will give this great multitude into our hands. It would be so amazing, because after that Aberdeen's testimony you read, it just started awakening this in my spirit. And I've been really praying for this now for 6 years. So I just want to pray about it. Lord, thank you for healing our lands if we would humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways and pray to you. Lord, I just ask you for a confirmation that that you will up my faith, and that you will give me a word, if it's your will, Lord, to save everyone here in South Africa and heal the whole land. It will really just up my faith and strengthen me to stand in faith for the whole country and see a major, major revival in South Africa. And it would be such a beautiful experience. I also ask you, Lord, to send me another verse, scripture, that telling me how many will endure till the end. How many will serve you till the end? Because I know, like in revivals, it's not always a revival starts out and it's massive, but only a few make it through to endure. Lord, it would just be such an amazing experience, and it would just be so wonderful if the whole country can come to you and serve you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There have been some great revivals in South Africa in years past. As a matter of fact, in the early part of last century, there was a great revival that most of the government came into the kingdom at that time. And Blake talked about it in his book, one of his books, talked about going and talking to the president or whatever they call him. Botha, is that right? Yeah, and brought him to Christ. It was an amazing time back then. That was back in the early 1900s. But yeah, it happened then, it can happen again to 100% this time. Actually, there was in South Africa, there was the Dutch Reformed Church had a revival back in the 1870s, maybe. Had a good revival back then also. So yes, it's possible.
A nice thing is that, like, I've just been asking a promise for the Lord to give me a word. And just to give me a word, what's his will? Because at the end of the day, he is sovereign and he knows. And it's really been going in that direction. So I'm really excited. If he gives you a word telling you, you know, I'm going to save the whole country, you can really stop him then, you know. It is, it's just a very exciting time for me. And it will be such a wonderful thing to see a whole country coming in 100%, you know. That would be a really spectacular thing to see.
Amen. You know, there have been countries, small countries, that have came pretty close to 100%, but the deep state got in there and stopped it. They killed some little Central American country. I can't remember which one it was right offhand. I'll remember here in a minute. But even the president was full gospel. And I don't remember which one it was, but there have been some instances of God's mighty move in those small countries. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I was going to say, years ago, I remember Carter Conlon talking about praying for countries or groups of people, and he started with, I think, a smaller number, and then he felt like God was, if I remember correctly, I might be wrong, but he felt like God was indicating to him that he might want to broaden his horizons. So then he said 1 million people, you know. But
as who was that? Know,
it was Carter Conlon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there at the Times Square Church. Anyway, they ended up going to there was a country they went to. And they were actually brought up on the stage with the government, the president, and I forget what country it was, if it was Nigeria or Zambia or one of those places, Zambia. But anyway, they did have a tremendous impact on the country. But it's just, I guess the takeaway for me was that, for one thing, in the Psalms, it says, God complains that his people are limiting him and limited something like in King James it says limiteth the God of Israel. So I don't think God likes to be shackled by, you know, prayers for small things when we could be praying big for like a whole country like the South Africa, William. In fact, wouldn't it be wonderful for the whole continent of Africa? That would be a big takeaway, wouldn't it?
That'd be a big boom. Amen. Go ahead, Joe Brett. Go, Brett.
I think of what William was talking about. I would think it was the most important part about the whole thing is when God says, my people will humble themselves. it's a big revival. Could be in your life, it could be in your sport, it could be anything, but you're talking about the spiritual revival. It's only for God's people. You only got something back that you lost. So only God's people had lost. So everybody's not God's people. I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm saying not everybody is God's people. God's people must repent and humble themselves and give him back to him. It's most important part is, I think it was anybody, I'm not sure who was talking about it, but that Twin Towers fall in America. Lots of people go to church. It was, what, a couple of months when it's nobody going to church anymore. So it was just a scare to get back. So there's a difference between a scare and revival. Revival is continuing in the word, if I understand what I'm explaining. Continue in the word, not just going on of what you start. You lost something, but you must keep now. You must try to keep it and stay on with the Lord. Okay. That's all I want to say. Thanks, Mike.
Well, that's why, Joe, that when this thing starts, it ain't stopping until it's all over with. When this shaking starts, it's going to shake from now on. Because he's tired of this business of us running to him when it's bad and when it's good. We kind of fall back into our flesh. Well, he's going to be a lot of shaking going on. Going to be a lot of whole lot of shaking going on. Glory to God. Yep. And the reason is to keep God's people eyes on him. Keep praying and speaking with him. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. I'm thinking that's kind of what the Lord was saying here. I posted that these passages earlier because the Lord kind of just gave that to me. But it was Zechariah 1:2 of what came up. But it was, and if you go through it from Zechariah 1:1 through 1:6, it kind of tells that story. And I think Joe's right. It's his people. It's God's people that he's calling to repentance. It's God's people that he's calling back into the kingdom. But also, I think you made a good point. Like you said, the revival lasts about 4 years. Or something like a generation here that kind of gets lost. It doesn't follow through. It dies off, and so that's kind of what I'm seeing here. It's history repeating because the Lord's even saying that. He says in the eighth month in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord to Zechariah the son of Berechiah the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, "The Lord was very displeased with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Be not as your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, return now from your doings. But they did not hear nor hearken to me, says the Lord." So he's talking about this generation that's not responding to God, the fathers before these people. Said, "Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? And they turned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do to us, or according to our ways and according to our doings, so he has dealt with us." So the falling away happens, and then you have to, and the Lord's saying, okay, I'm going to let this happen, and it's going to be a terrible thing. And then you're going to fall and seek me earnestly. And that's what you see happening. But it's his people that are falling and seeking him. So.
Amen. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Michael. Let me put my hand down. I was just pondering revivals, just as you know, you guys were speaking, I was not speaking, obviously, but it seems to me, and this is probably a little bit sobering, because revival is a much anticipated and you know thing. But I was just pondering, what follows it? And quite often, and certainly this is the pattern in Scripture in the Book of Acts, is you know, some form of persecution, or, you know, obviously it's a spiritual thing that comes against it. And I don't think that's also common in history. I was just trying to think about a number of revivals, and I don't really know a lot about the history of revivals and what followed. I mean, you know, whether that happened after the Welsh revival, I'm not sure. But yeah, there's got to, you know, following a revival, there's got to be a sorting. And that's where I think we need to be a little bit, you know, look up revival. Yes, bring it, you know, Lord, bring people to you. But, you know, those of us who, you know, we need to be encouraging people to stay faithful to him as well. And you know, us ourselves, you know, even in the times of when things seem to be going well. But one thing I guess I've come to realize is that's the trick. It's not, you know, leaning to the Lord in times of trouble, because, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes. But when things are going really well, of staying there in that place. So yes, that was just the thoughts I was having on revivals and you know, why they sometimes peter out, because people don't stay faithful to the Lord, or, you know, the good times aren't still happening. You know, I think that's what you were drawing out from scripture there, Dave. Anyway, that's enough of me talking and thinking. It's a bit dangerous thing for me to do.
Amen. Well, the Azusa Street Revival lasted for somewhere around 3 years. New Hebrides Revival lasted about 3 or 4 years, somewhere along in there. So they last as long as people stay spiritually alive. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to make a quick comment, maybe. One of the, and that's what Greg was talking about there, and the lasting of the duration of them and whatnot. I guess that's kind of what I was maybe trying to say before, is that this system that is covering the world now, this apostate system, is at the foundations of it is a system that focuses on a one-time repentance and enter into the kingdom scenario, and it really pushes down or hides or really doesn't know anything about the second portion of, or and one of the most important portions of that salvation is continuing on through the discipleship process that the Lord takes us through, in that growing and maturing in order to make it through, in order to bring forth the fullness of that salvation. And so what God has given us in the teachings and the truths and the various different things within the UBM library, so to speak, and the things that he's brought us through, is at that foundation, there is the understanding that salvation is an entrance in, is a instant and a progressive. It's instant, and you have to continue on and acquire, or what's the word I'm trying to say? It's one King James screws up. Assimilate or something. I don't remember now. Anyway, but I'll think of it later. Anyway, to acquire that life of Christ within us and put the old man to death, that whole discipleship process. And so in that, God has created the framework of a new wineskin in order to pour that new wine into. And so I guess I'm just thinking that, you know, God is has prepared this vessel, so to speak, and prepared a people with a mindset of an understanding of the full gospel, the full salvation experience that needs to be maintained and needs to be developed. And now all we need is God to pour in His Spirit. Amen.
Okay. Praise God. Reason I said New Hebrides, Greg, is I went up online, that's what they call it, New Hebrides, when Duncan Campbell brought it in. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll do some research. I just know there's a lot of...
It could be Hebrides, but I always had seen it called New Hebrides. So.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Not a terribly relevant point anyway, the discussion.
But yeah.
I'll check it out. It's kind of like New Caledonia and you know, New Guinea and New South Wales. Anyway.
Okay. Newport.
Et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, for Danny's point, I'll get off it.
All right. But that New Hebrides revival was part of Duncan Campbell's ministry. He was instrumental in that revival as well. But as you probably already know, in the New Hebrides revival, that there were two sisters. One of them was deaf. Yeah, they did. One of them was deaf and the other one was blind. They were the ones that prayed it in. They were praying for revival and had been praying for revival in their country there for many years. And Duncan Campbell, the Lord took him there from Scotland, I believe. It's either Scotland or Ireland, sent him over there to head up that revival. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
I remember the main theme of that whole testimony you read, or I don't know if it was, you can really call it a testimony, but I think it was more a testimony. If people, my people called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. I will hear from heaven. I don't know the whole verse exactly, but I know that it is turned from their wicked ways. Humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. That's what made me sort of wonder if it's possible in South Africa. So I've just been, and then what also came in for me was I sanctify myself so they might be sanctified. That was a wonderful verse for me to see. A big change in my family was Jesus said, I sanctify myself so they might be sanctified, just on humbling ourselves and turning from our wicked ways. It's a big part of just seeing other people come to Christ is working on ourselves and making sure that seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all other things will be added on to you. I was just thinking, Judas was, no matter how much prayer or verses you'd get for Judas or pray for him, he would never have repented. I might be wrong here. He would have never had repented because he was ordained to do something. He was ordained to be a vessel of dishonor. So that part also comes in. And I remember one of the books on UBM, there was a testimony of a guy praying. I'm not 100% sure if it was on UBM, but this guy was praying for another guy to get saved. And he prayed and prayed. And according to his testimony, the Lord told him to stop. This guy was never going to repent. So... I'm just that also comes into mind how many vessels of honor is in this country and how many vessels of dishonor. At the end of the day, it's like it doesn't help you praying. It does help. You can pray for a vessel of dishonor, but I know, like what I'm trying to say is Judas was never ordained to be saved. You could have fasted months for him. He still had to do what he had to do, if I could put it like that.
Amen. Well, I heard one crow. We're waiting on the second one, then we're waiting on the third one. We heard that rooster.
Yeah, there's now a lot. They multiplied, so you'll hear at least 100 going.
Amen. Go ahead, Greg.
All right. On that subject of repentance and Judas, repentance is a brilliant gift of God, you know, and it's, you know, absolutely. And we are stupid as human beings not to take it. And basically shove it in the face of, you know, the devil, etc. However, I think this is where we need to be a little bit sober with it all, because, you know, we're called to turn to the Lord while, you know, there's still time, or it's still today. And, you know, with regard to Judas Iscariot, I mean, he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was like this close to all the signs and wonders and the teaching, and was involved with it. He was one of the, you know, ones who was sent out. Judas was also, as we know, was pilfering he was the treasurer who wasn't keeping proper account of the monies, or, you know, he was taking some for himself. And the, one of the commentators, I said, you know, when because Judas would have seen Jesus, like, walk through these crowds of people who were, Pharisees, etc., who wanted to stone him and grab him, and it wasn't his time. Amongst other things, and perhaps Judas in pointing out to the Sanhedrin, etc., or the, you know, authorities, where Jesus was and where they could arrest him away from the public, was counting on that Obi-Wan Kenobi type, him escaping that grasp. And, you know, in the meantime, he gets, you know, 30 pieces of silver. And of course, the Lord had other plans. And, you know, in Judas's case, you know, was he sorry for what he did? It seems he really was, but his chance of repentance had passed. And there was, you know, I've known of other accounts of, like, you know, a man who went to Fiji, tasked by the Lord to tell the witches there to stop, or die. And they had about 3 months. And of course, the time passed, and some repented and some didn't, and they started dying. So they got in touch with this guy and said, we should have repented. And he said, it's too late. So with repentance, yes, there comes a time it's not going to be open to it, you know, to us forever or to the world forever. That's just the sobering part of it, in my humble opinion.
All right, David.
I also kind of wonder with Judas, and this is the danger that we should all follow and understand, is when Judas was corrected, he was publicly corrected by the Lord when he was challenging why that perfume was used on the Lord's head and his feet from Mary, I think it was Mary Magdalene that did that, anointed him, and he was upset. And that perfume could have been sold for whatever, for some kind of money, you know, for whatever. And the Lord corrected him. He said, no, she's doing this for my burial. It's from this point forward, or my, you know, whatever, prepare me for my, whatever he said. I don't know if he said burial then, but his death. But, and he also said, from this point forward, what she's done is going to be mentioned in the scriptures, basically. That he didn't take the correction. He didn't like it. He rebelled against that correction, and he became factious. And he thought, oh, yeah, okay, that's enough of this. You know, he at that point, he was not going to follow the Lord because he was going to receive the correction. That's a big thing in our lives. When you get corrected from the Lord or whatever, somebody that's in a position to correct, or they bring something up that you need to deal with and you choose not to, that's a place where you can become factious and rebel against the Lord. And he might, for Judas, it was the ultimate that he turned Jesus over to be killed. He turned him over to a death sentence with those evil men. And there was no doubt in his mind that these guys were going to do him in. It wasn't just like he rebelled and factioned off and was mad. He actually went out for blood. You know, he's going to get something out of this. He's going to get some money out of this. So that's what the factious spirit does. And the UBM, they've seen, they're very angry. They just all of a sudden become your ultimate enemy. That's that Judas spirit. So, you know, that's the warning for us, is take the correction. Humble yourself if it's good, if it's coming your way, and receive it and change, or else, you know, the idea that you could become a Judas and come just like the factious, you know, that's the alternative. You know, so I just thought I'd bring that up.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, before. You see, it said there in those parts there, Dave, that he received indignation, I believe is the word they use in the scriptures. But when the mother of the two sons of Zebedee made a request to Jesus, and they all got indignation there too, and this happened just prior to that. And Judas also got indignation too, because these people were, the two sons that are requested to be at the left hand and right hand of Jesus. And he had practice with indignation, because Jesus came out and said, you know, we're not like the world. We don't have benefactors. And he actually got healed of indignation. All of the Jesus said that we don't lord it over each other like the nations do. And, were benefactors one to another. And so he had the practice of this indignation that he already went through. And then this next indignation came to him, which he didn't make through. So that's a real interesting thing you mentioned there, David, that he already had the proof of trying to come through this. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, David was talking and just going over it about Judas being factioned. Really just dawned on me. You know, that ointment that they used, I think I was looking at they would prepare bodies in those days with ointment. And Jesus knew that his time was coming. And we know that, you know, that was a sweet savor to God. And that when we, you know, that burnt up flesh in our lives is an incense before God too. It seemed like when David was talking, I was just like, say, dawned on me that he didn't want Jesus, that sweet savor before God. He didn't want to prepare that death. And that's how they did it back then. Cause I was looking at frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Because, like, what was the reasons for that in Jesus' birth? And I really hadn't put all that together yet. So, but the thing is, I do know that frankincense and myrrh was, you know, to prepare the bodies and whatnot. But, and then frankincense, I can't remember. But that's what I was dawned on me about this, because that was part of, like, a Jewish tradition. So, yeah, I don't know. Just seemed like he wanted to... I think I explained myself, so I'm not gonna go over it again because I don't want to lose my train of thought. But the thing is, you know, he said 300 shillings and given to the poor. There's another Bible verse somewhere, and one of the disciples, it had to do with the food. And they also said it somewhere in the works. I looked it up. 300 shillings were not enough to feed everybody. So what was 300 shillings amongst the poor? It really wasn't his concern. It never really mattered, right? But there's proof to that in the gospel. But anyways, yeah. So thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're out of time. Much as I have enjoyed for Mike, it's been an awesome experience. Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you. And I ask, Father, that you place it in our hearts to do like 1 Chronicles 7 says, to humble ourselves and to come after you, Lord, so that we can experience a personal revival with you, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you stir up the Spirit in us continually as we come to you every day. And let that be a daily practice that we do come to you and praise you and worship you and pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. And Father, we know that when we do that, you're going to show up. You're going to show up, and I praise you for doing that, Father, and each and every one of us. Place it in our hearts. It makes no difference what time of day it is, whatever day that we have, part of the day that we have, Lord, that we just set it down in stone. Now, I'm going to take this time right here to be with the Lord. Anything else comes up, it's got to sit on the shelf because you're more important. Father, I'm asking you to help us do that in our lives, to set aside a couple of hours a day. And I know sometimes that may seem like a lot when our eternal life depends upon it and our family's life depends upon it. You can set other things aside. And Father, I just praise you and I glorify you for doing that in each and every one of us. Father, as we renew our mind with your word also, by speaking the word, speaking the promises, speaking who we are in you, Lord. Because when we do that, that's how we renew our mind. We break down those old strongholds as you've shown us, Lord. And we build new strongholds in you by speaking the word out loud. And I praise you, Father, for giving us the tools necessary to mature us in each and every way that you want us mature. And I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Be with us tonight as we, some of us lay down, some of us get up. But Lord, be with us the whole time. I thank you, Lord, for the ones that are going to be sleeping, that you give them good dreams. And when they wake up in the morning, they will be rejuvenated. Be filled with your supernatural energy, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. Give us all good dreams about the coming times ahead. Thank you for that, Lord. We bind up any kind of a demonic entity that wants to give us bad dreams right now. In Jesus' name, I bind you up, cast you out of this fellowship. You will not interfere with our sleeping. In Jesus' name. Father, I just praise you and I glorify you for this great bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ that we have is situated all over the world. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord. Bless them mightily with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all. Glory be to God. It's been a good one.